Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The SGPN Fantasy Football Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. Bet $50 at WynnBET and get $200 in free bets. Bet big, win bigger with WynnBET. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by Sleeper. You already play fantasy on Sleeper, but now you can win cold, hard cash with their over-under game. Just head to sleeper.com/SGP on your phone to join the SGPN group, and Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit up to $100 at sleeper.com/SGP. And of course, make sure to download the SGPN app. It is your home for all of our free picks and podcasts. Happy USFL Tuesday, everybody. It's the SGPN Fantasy Football Podcast here on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. I, of course, am your host, Rod Villagomez. I, of course, have brought in Justin Mark one more time for our USFL Tuesday show. I, of course, have made the music go away early without the fade. My bad. Sorry. It's been a whirlwind of a week, and it's going to continue to be so. But, Justin, speaking of whirlwind of weeks, we had a fantastic weekend. I feel like we say this every week, but this week it was especially true of USFL football.
It really was. It's kind of like we hit on last week that you can tell everything is really clicking now. And you saw that again this week. Everything's clicking and everybody is just, they're fighting. I mean, we're close to the playoffs. We're getting there. So everybody's fighting for those top four positions.
In a 10-week regular season, I mean, every game counts, obviously, but every game really counts now because there are teams that are, that say they're in the hunt, but at 1-5, I don't think you're in the hunt anymore. You've really got to win out the rest of these games and have some very, very good luck on your favor if you want to try to get in the playoffs at this point. So, I mean, we're seeing it all over the place now. We're seeing some really good teams separate themselves and some really bad teams continue to struggle. And, you know, as we hit on these last 3 weeks of the regular season, for fantasy purposes especially, right? I mean, this is the last week before playoffs for most leagues. So that means that you're either fighting for a spot or you're really just, you know, you're packing it in, or you're just sort of coasting along like somebody else in your house right now, waiting for the next taker.
Yeah, still, my wife's still undefeated. I was saying, I hope she wins this week because then week 8, I play her and it'd be great to hand her that first loss.
Little household rivalry there.
That's right.
She's the Birmingham Stallions of the league, man. She's just taking it by storm. Like, it's impressive to watch what she's been doing to this whole experts league that we got going on right now.
It's got to be the home field advantage, right?
I'm telling you. Well, you know what? Maybe I should have her on the show.
There you go.
Just kidding. All right. Well, as we do every week, guys, we're going to break down week 6. Again, this exciting week 6 that we just had. I know that this is not a gambling podcast, as it were, but just know that every single game in this week hit the over. I mean, this is points galore. And it wasn't all just bad defense. I mean, it was really good offense, and it was good defense that scored some points too for these teams. So we saw it all.
Yeah, we really did. It was crazy. It was great. It was entertaining to watch for sure.
Absolutely. I was entertained, and we all started being entertained on Saturday morning. as we woke up to the Philadelphia Stars beating the Tampa Bay Bandits by the score of 35-28, one of the big numbers that's been hung this season. And look, the story of this game was not necessarily the fact that the Stars offense was looking amazing, because when you look at Case Cookus, guy only threw for 73 yards. He did throw for two touchdowns, but the real story of the game was short field position, which is why Cookus didn't necessarily need to throw as many yards that he did. And really, the biggest story was Mr. Colburn, Matt Colburn II, 18 carries, 140 yards, three touchdowns. This guy comes in and just lights it up in the absence of Paul Terry.
Yeah, extremely impressive. Normally, I feel like we would beat up on a quarterback that only threw for 73 yards, but he didn't have to. And this is one of the first games we finally saw the Stars commit to the run. Last week, I think they had 11 carries the entire game or something like that. Carried the ball 29 times, 18 of those to Colburn for 140 yards, three touchdowns. Just an extremely impressive performance. The frustrating thing maybe for fantasy managers is, how do you move forward? What do you, are all running backs startable? Is it just Colburn and Terry? You know, this is going to be kind of confusing moving forward.
And we'll talk about that later on as well, because yeah, this brings up a lot of questions. We're too far into the season to have these kind of questions right now, man. Like, we want to have it locked up, right?
Yeah, you would hope, but the USFL, it's a different breed.
It's a different breed. Darnell Holland carried seven times for 39 yards, and that's, again, that's who we figured would be the one to pick up the slack with Paul Terry being out. AC sprain for Paul Terry. No word yet whether or not he's going to be available for week 8, but, you know, you have to figure that. You're right. I mean, and then we'll go into depth of it later, but with Darnell Holland, we figured he would be the guy to come in and do it.
Yeah, for sure. That's absolutely who I thought would. And you know, he didn't have a bad game had he gotten more carries, but still a 5.6 average. All their running backs put up a pretty good average, so it was nice to finally see them, give them the opportunity to keep carrying the ball and not just a handful of times.
Cookus carried it for four times for 18 yards as well. So, you know, again, it's just a lot of back and forth for this guy. When he threw the ball, though, I see Justin already smiling on his face because that means that Bug Howard had himself another fantastic day. Bug Howard, man, that guy. They talk about him every weekend as being not a tight end, and this week is no different. Four catches on six targets, only 36 yards, but the man went in the end zone twice. So where Colburn got three touchdowns, Bug Howard caught two, and they were really impressive touchdowns, by the way.
They really were. You know me, I don't like to thump my chest much, but I did say he would be the number one tight end in fantasy football. He's not only the number one tight end, but only five receivers have outscored him. So he, if you drafted him, he can carry your team. He's one of those rare tight ends like you find in the NFL where he gives you a huge advantage over the person you're playing.
So we talked, though, about the fact that there was not a lot of completions to be had here. Obviously, Cookus only completed 11 passes. Bug caught four of those, which means everybody else just kind of got the leftovers. And Devin Gray was one of them. He had two catches, 19 yards. Colburn got in the mix with two catches for 12 yards. Chris Rowland, the dude, we praised him in the first couple of weeks of the season, but has gone the way of the spring league receiver, just sort of faded into the background. One catch, 8 yards. Darnell Holland also with a catch. Others receiving votes, i.e. targets. Sewell got a couple of targets, and Wells got a couple of targets. Even Maurice Alexander got three targets, but one catch for a negative 2 yards on that little swing pass. So, I mean, look, Cookus didn't need to do much, I guess, is really what the takeaway is here, right?
Yeah, the Stars game was all about the defense and the run game. So he really didn't have to do much. And if they can keep that going, they're going to be looking pretty good, I think.
I think so, too. And again, we'll break down a couple more of those fantasy options when we come back after the break with our starter sit, because a couple of those names are on our list. Speaking of names on our list, look, Jordan Ta'amu, I'm still not ready to say, is the best quarterback in the league still. We are 7 weeks in, and I'm not ready to crown him that. Put the ball up 40 times, completed 27 of them for 333 yards, four touchdowns, but one very costly interception. Justin, is it just that he does not have the supporting cast around him to make him a better quarterback, or are these numbers deceiving based on the game flow?
I think it's a little A, little B. He's definitely made some mistakes, especially that interception that just started the game flow in the negative, I guess, for the Bandits right away, and they could never recover from that. He also fumbled the ball. You know, we talk about it all the time with NFL quarterbacks. Ball protection is key, ball security. So if you're throwing interceptions, if you're fumbling, then you're not putting your team in the best position to succeed. And that's what the best quarterback in the league needs to do.
Yeah, and he's just not doing it right now. And he looks... The thing is that Jordan Tomu, to me, looks very uncomfortable. He looks like he can't get comfortable in the pocket. His release is usually... When he's throwing well, it's good, but when he's under pressure, when he looks discombobulated, he's not releasing the ball the way you want it to, and a lot of these balls sail. Again, a 67% completion rate, not all that great. You know, you're putting up 40 passes, only completing 27 of them. It's not going to get it done. And also, to that point, he's still the team's leading rusher. 9 carries, 61 yards on the scramble. The next best was B.J. Emmons, who carried the ball 10 times for 21 yards. You know, Jawan Washington got involved, 8 for 21. Even Franklin got involved, 2 carries for 3 yards. It's just, there's no run support for Tomu either.
Yeah, there's not. And the line just doesn't help in the run game. It doesn't help protect him. I think, you know, we might see a little bit different Jordan Tomu if that line would hold up. But as of right now, we don't. And so it's really hard to gauge whether or not he is, in fact, the best or most talented, I guess, quarterback in the league.
I mean, look, and it's not as if there's a bunch of them that are standouts right now. I mean, if you look up and down the line, and we'll talk about them as we break down each game, it's just, yeah, there's a lot of meh play, and then there's a couple that are really good. But talk about his receivers. Mumphrey was the biggest one of the day for 5 catches, 50 yards, obviously just for yardage total. Cheyenne O'Grady, 2 touchdowns on 3 catches, 45 yards. Not a bad day for O'Grady. And then Daquan Hampton had a touchdown, 3 catches, 55 yards. And then Rashad Davis, 3 catches, 83 yards. Takeaways from this receiving core, as we've seen Dylan go by the wayside catch. He caught 6 passes, but only for 26 yards. B.J. Emmons got involved as well. No Papali again this week, and no Willies this week, really, to speak of. So what are we talking about with these receivers?
Well, we'll go ahead and call out. I made a bad call. I said Papali would be fine. I thought his targets would pick back up, and we continue to see a decline. Dylan taking a lot of those targets, but not getting a lot of yards out of it. And then Rashad Davis, you know, he had the most yards, but if you take away that 62-yarder that was kind of luck, another play of theirs, second week in a row, that had a little bit more luck in it than skill, probably. Take that away, and, you know, you don't have anybody that's like standing out a lot. This was the best performance we've seen from Mumphrey. So it'll be interesting to see if he can keep that momentum up.
6 catches for their tight ends. Just put that in your notebook for later on. That's the same as Dylan with his 6 catches. So again, we know Tomu loves his tight ends, and he's got 2 very athletic ones. So, I mean, going forward, if you're going to flex a Bandits tight end, you may get something out of it.
For sure. 6 catches and 3 touchdowns.
I mean, that's nothing to sneeze at this point. So, I don't know. I still don't like the Bandits. Call me crazy. all right, let's move on to the next game of the week, where the Michigan Panthers, man, you felt good for them for a half a second, thought maybe they would be better than they are, and then they reminded us they're the Michigan Panthers, lost to the Stallions. But then again, it's the Stallions. Everybody's lost to the Stallions. 33-17 was the final score there, and this was barely even close. Maybe the first half was close, maybe first 3 quarters, but the Stallions reminded everybody who they were in that fourth quarter, scoring 2 touchdowns and pulling completely away. Just, again, one of those days for the Panthers. Shea Patterson, 209 yards, a touchdown, interception. Nothing really to speak home about. He only carried the ball 3 times this time for 5 yards, but he did get that touchdown as well on the ground. I mean, look, they're going to give it to Shea Patterson. This is his team, win or lose. And so far, it's just been lose.
Yeah, for sure. Just not enough to get the job done. You know, last week he had kind of a breakout performance. I did hear him say that the coach said that's because the Bandits took away their run game. So it was really interesting to see the Stars succeed with their run game when they haven't been that good. And while, you know, Patterson, he hasn't looked terrible. He just, aside from that one game, he has not shown us why he was the number one pick.
That's, I mean, right? That's really what it all boils down to. And it's just a matter of, we see the potential, but I don't necessarily think that, I mean, it's 24 or 35, a 68.6 percentage for completion. And his average completion is 6 yards. You're just not going to get a lot done when you're doing that. Now, look, Reggie Corbin came in and carried the ball 16 times for 71 yards, a 4.4 average. So he's getting a little help in that run game, but this is a run game that everybody said was going to be the best in the game between Stevie Scott and Reggie Corbin, and we have not seen the best running game in the league from the Panthers yet with this Jeff Fisher offense.
Yeah, it's definitely been a surprise. You know, and Corbin's had a couple good weeks, but aside from that, they've been similar to this one. You know, you have your 7 fantasy football points from rushing yards in 71 yards, and it's just it's not doing the game, it's not doing anything on the field, and it's not doing enough for your fantasy football team either.
Not even a little. The lone bright spot, really, if you want to pick one, is this receiving core that's got some very talented receivers. You can't stop number 7. You cannot stop Lance Lenoir Jr. 9 catches, 82 yards, 12 targets, man. Like, they were looking at number 7 almost all night long, and he was catching just about everything that was thrown at him. That wasn't an overthrow.
Yeah, for sure. And that's more the same from him. He's 2nd in the league with 52 targets. So that's somebody that they continue to look at. And the defenses can't do enough to stop them from looking his way.
No, and he's burning everybody. He had a long of 20, but, you know, his average catch was 9.1 yards. And you look up and down, I mean, that's really the story for these guys, too. Devin Ross, 9.6 average. Joe Walker, 8.5. So, I mean, they were catching balls that were close to the first down marker just about every single time. Ross, 7 catches for 67 yards in the touchdown. Walker, kind of quiet, 4 catches, 34 yards on 8 targets. But, you know, you look at the target share, and that's exactly it. Ross got 8 targets. Walker got 8 targets. Petway, we talked about him a couple weeks ago, kind of disappeared. 3 catches, 20 yards on 3 targets. And Corbin got a catch for 6 yards as well. So, I mean, it's the Panthers, man. If you're riding with one of these, you probably don't have better options at this point.
Agreed. And for a team that's a run-heavy team, you need more production out of your tight ends there. That's something like we thought we would see out of Pedway, but just didn't happen this week.
Did not happen this week. Something that did happen this week, though, was Birmingham won. Go figure. J.M.R. Smith, 12 of 25. They don't have to do much to win. It's weird. I don't get it. Like, J.M.R. only completed 12 passes. We knocked quarterback a couple of minutes ago for only completing 11 passes. J.M.R. 12, but yet they still won. 2 touchdowns on those 12, 135 yards. But really, I mean, there's not much more we can analyze about J.M.R. You're starting him. There's no question. He's just, you ride or die with this guy.
Yeah, I don't know. They made me a little nervous when they put Magoo in for a series. I was happy to see J.M.R. come back in.
Oh, God, given what happened to DeAndre Johnson, I mean, that didn't happen till later, but still. Mm-hmm. All right, so we're done with J.M.R. We already know that he's a stud, and that this down week may have been a down week fantasy-wise, but you're going to start him because he's just that good. But the real story is Justin gives himself a victory lap pat on the back for Bo Scarborough having a blowout game. 16 carries, 105 yards, and a touchdown. But boy, does he look good. I don't know that we're going to see anybody else but Bo Scarborough going forward.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. I feel like he's more of your bell cow type running back. You know, he's a big dude. He runs hard. And then Marable, once he's healthy, is more of your pass catching third down back. But yeah, 6.6 average. That's about right where he was at college. He was at six. So that's what I expected to see out of him. And so I was happy to see him find that success.
Yeah, and find it he did too. He made all eyes on him this last game, because every time he touched the ball, you were just like, well, here we go. You know, he had that long 28 yarder that he just barreled through and literally did not stop. So that's good for Bo Scarborough. Good for you, and good for you guys if you picked him up because Justin told you to, which is exactly what should have happened in the first place. Tony Brooks-James, 7 carries, 32 yards. Alex Magoo brought it down 5 times for 21 yards and got a touchdown. All told, 31 carries by the Stallions, 175 yards, 2 touchdowns. Great game on the ground, and really they outran the running team.
Yeah, and we continue. This is the second week in a row that this running game has been very strong.
It has. Osiris Mitchell in the receiving game, 4 catches, 63 yards, and a touchdown. But then it just sort of fell off. Victor Bolden targeted 10 times, only caught 3 for 18 yards. What a frustrating day for the other 7.
Yeah, for sure. And he leads the league in targets, but when you can only get 3 of 10, it's not going to do much for you fantasy-wise.
It will not. Our boy Jalen Ramsey, 1 catch. Not Jalen Ramsey. Our boy Ramsey, Peyton Ramsey, 1 catch, 40 yards. A big catch, too. That was a big one, a big one in the game.
It was. I reached out to him and congratulated on him. I like started yelling at the TV, and Miranda was like, "What happened?" I was like, "It's Peyton Ramsey."
I love that we celebrate every single one of his catches. It's because it's right. Always a spectacular catch too. It's never just a mundane one.
Yep, exactly. And you we talked about it from the very beginning. After that interview, you can't help but just root for that guy. You just want him to succeed.
You sure do. All right, look, here's one thing, though. The Stallions defense, if you have the Stallions defense, you've been pleasantly surprised over the last few weeks. They got 3 sacks last week against the Panthers, 1 interception. They've been all over the place. They've been forcing turnovers. They've been sacking teams. So if you're a playoff contender team, you might want to consider trying to package something for a team that's trying to find their way up to get the Stallions, and maybe try to pump them that, you know, they can't be this good every week and you only got a couple weeks left. So you need a quarterback more than you need a defense, right?
Use whatever trickery you have to.
Whatever voodoo you do, make sure it works for you.
That's right.
All right, let's move on to the Maulers and the Breakers. Look, I've said it before. I'll say it again. I don't think Kirby Wilson is what this team needs. Yes, Pittsburgh got their win. Yes, everybody celebrated, but they sure came back down to earth quite quickly last week against the Breakers. And it wasn't like they didn't have the opportunity to try to at least make it a game. In fact, they went down 10-0 at the half and they looked flat. But then they came back and actually scored 16 of their points in the second half. They just needed to hold and have the defense hold the Breakers if they wanted to do something. So this game could have went the other direction, but Vad Lee, after a very impressive first outing, came out and looked like he didn't remember the playbook. 17 completions, 34 yards, only completed half of his passes for 198, a touchdown, but 2 costly interceptions for Vad Lee. Are we worried about him going forward?
I don't think so. So the first game he had success, I think that was more of a, you know, the quarterback's coming in, you got that adrenaline going and everybody's excited because you're starting to move the ball. Last week we saw more of kind of them not on the same page yet. You know, they don't have that full comfortability that we thought we saw when he came in 2 weeks ago. One of the things that was interesting on the pick six, I'll give Kirby Wilson one good shout out here of a coaching move he did. So after that pick six, Vad Lee was extremely upset with Bailey Gaither. Yeah, why didn't he turn at me? Why wouldn't he turn and look, you know? And Kirby told him, look, go calm down for 30 seconds, then go talk to him about it. Calm down first, though. So I thought that was really good. And then you saw them drive down the field and he threw the touchdown pass to Bailey Gaither. So You know, I think the numbers are a little misleading because that interception wasn't his fault. He had the passing touchdown and a rushing one. I'm not worried about him right now. I think he gives the Maulers the best chance for success. And most likely, if you picked him up, it's because you needed somebody to put in the quarterback position.
Yep. Yep. You lost Brian Scott early, and you weren't able to scramble to get somebody else. So, yep, there's your Vad Lee. As far as the running game is concerned, Madre London, 10 carries, 50 yards. And then Daniel came in for 4 for 17. Vad carried it once for a touchdown, or he carried it 5 times, but carried it once for a touchdown. But here's what's intriguing, Justin. You know where I'm going with this. Groshek. Just Garrett Groshek. 14 carries, 7 yards. He is not the answer, especially for a team that was supposed to be just as run heavy as the Michigan Panthers. What happened to Garrett Groshek?
Okay, I'm asking myself the same question because I have him on my fantasy roster. 14 carries, 7 yards, but his long was 7 yards. So that means 13 of those carries averaged zero. For a run first team, for a running back who's, you know, the top of your depth chart right now, you got to perform better than, say, your fullback did, who had 4 carries for 17 yards. It's just a bad outing, and it might be more of a fact that when Groshek's lined up there, their play set really looks like, oh, they're going to run the ball. And I feel like if I'm seeing that from my couch, the defense is definitely seeing that.
I mean, look, I kept pounding. I was so mad. I was tweeting out so mad. He is not the answer. He is not the answer. Garrett Groshek is not. If the question is, who should I hand the ball off to? It is not Garrett Groshek.
And where would this team be without Pizzagate? I mean, we could be looking at a completely different team.
I am sure Davion is just watching this in absolute joy, knowing that he could have made a difference in that team. All right, speaking of making a difference, Isaiah Henny, Isaiah Henny. Yes, Henny, I think, yeah. It is Isaiah Henny. 4 catches, 71 yards. Come out of nowhere. Where the heck did Isaiah Henny come from? But he had 71 yards on 4 catches. And then Delvin Hardaway, 4 catches for 33. Walker grabbed 2 for 31, but he had 9 targets. He had the most targets on this team and didn't come down with it. Bailey Gaither, again, 2 catches, 29 yards. One of those was a touchdown. One of them should have been a catch for a touchdown, but wasn't. And just a smattering of other players in there that are just not fantasy relevant at this point. So outside of Gaither and Walker, did we see the rise of Henny?
Yeah, it's interesting. His first game that he's active, he gets 6 targets, 4 catches, 71 yards. Now, in a normal league, you would think that would be a look of good things to come. In the USFL, you know, it's kind of a crapshoot. But no, I thought it looked good in his first action there.
So keep him on the radar, because again, if he's out there on waiver wires, and we'll talk about that in a second after the break, we'll get more in depth in him. Make sure to keep that name on the top of your list. Let's move over to the breakers real quick, where Kyle Sloter just. I don't know, man. This is another one of those meh quarterbacks that I continue to harp on. 13 of 21, 92 yards. His team still wins. So I just don't know. It's crazy. So tell me about Sloter. What are we even feeling about?
You know, and when they interviewed him on the side, he said he was 70% to maybe 80%. Now, any player is probably going to exaggerate how they are, you know. So in saying that he's healthier than he actually is, I would think. So I just got to wonder if that injury is bothering him more than we think, or if he's just not getting the job done. But like you said, again, this is a team that with the defense and the run game, he didn't have to do much in order for them to win.
No, he did not. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere comes Anthony Jones carrying the ball 22 times for 102 yards and a touchdown, where Jordan Ellis goes into the back again, 13 carries, 47 yards and a touchdown. Who's Anthony Jones, Justin? Where did he come from?
You know, I got to give credit to Miranda because she has some skill, but this has got to be luck, right? She's out CJ Marable. She picks up Anthony Jones. And I asked her, I said, why'd you decide on him? She's like, well, he had 3 points 2 weeks ago. I was hoping for just that 3 to 5. And he's their lead carrier. That's got to be a little bit of luck in there. But yeah, just exploded. And I wonder if it's, you know, more of a Ellis has been the leading backfield as far as carries out of any team. He's led the percentage of backfield carries. So getting later in the season, maybe you want to keep him a little fresh. So they add in a little Anthony Jones, and it worked out very well for them with his 102 yards and a touchdown.
Not to mention two catches for 20 yards as well. So a couple of PPR points there. But yeah, it's just frustrating from a week-to-week basis a lot of times when you're putting your whole trust in a guy like Jordan Ellis, and he's gotten you so far. I mean, he got you a touchdown, so that's not bad, but still, not the day that Jones had. Tywan Taylor, the leading receiver for the Breakers, 5 catches, 40 yards on 6 targets, the biggest target getter there. But, you know, not much to speak of. Johnny Dixon, 3 for 19. Adams got you 2 for 16. Jordan Ellis got you 2 for 6. It's just not a lot to do with Sloter being hurt the way he is.
Yeah, agreed. And if you've been slotting in Dixon and Adams, just routine, plug them in your DFS play. This is like one of the first weeks that that didn't work out. So I think this is probably more of an anomaly, and it will turn around for them. And you can continue to trust those guys. But I guess we'll see moving forward.
A lot of Johnny Adams panicked managers just thinking, what the heck? Where'd this guy go? But yeah, I mean, just bad luck for him all around. I mean, he had a couple of passes that just sort of sailed on him that he didn't have any chance to get. So we'll see. All right, let's move on to the Houston Gamblers. Tell you what, man, they are D-gens to the core because they keep going to the table. They keep rolling the dice. And for the last 5 weeks, it has just not come up their way. They lose again to the New Jersey Generals. They lose again in heartbreaking fashion. Justin, do you even feel bad for these guys at this point?
I don't. And the announcer said something that I thought was hilarious. And this will probably poke at our buddy Cody Z, but he said the Gamblers are the Nebraska Cornhuskers. They're actually pretty good on paper, but they just can't win games.
I was like, what the heck, man? That's pretty fine. I thought of Cody right away too. Yep. All right. For the Gamblers, look, Clayton Thorson, just 15 of 19, 171 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. I mean, Clayton Thorson's got to be scratching his head, trying to figure out what the hell to do now, because his team's been in games. He's given him an opportunity. He hasn't lost it for him, but he certainly hasn't been winning them for either.
Yeah, and this is the 6th week in a row that they have gone into halftime with the lead and then lost. They've lost 5 of those. So you got to start looking at the coaching. What are they not doing as far as adjustments? How are they not preparing for adjustments the other team's going to make? Thorson, like you said, not looking great, but he's not looking bad either. He's not losing them the game. So I don't think this loss rides on him at all.
I definitely don't. Where it definitely lies, I think, to be honest with you, if you're talking about going into the halftime with the lead, the best way to hang on to the lead is running the ball after the half. And something that Houston did well to begin the season with, obviously with Mark Thompson, but have not done quite so well the last few weeks, as Dalen Dawkins came in as the leading yards getter on 6 attempts and 24 yards. But Mark Thompson just falling off the board, 11 carries, 23 yards, 2.1 yards per carry, just not the day you want out of the league's leading rusher for the first few weeks of the season.
Not at all. I mean, he salvaged his day fantasy-wise by catching 2 touchdowns, but definitely not the game. One of the craziest things out of this game is the Gamblers did not touch the ball in the third quarter. I don't think I've ever watched a game of football where one team didn't touch the ball for a full quarter. So obviously that hurt them as far as trying to maintain this lead. But yeah, they have to get this run game going, whether it's Dawkins, Thompson, if Devoir Whaley gets healthy and comes back, somebody has got to do something for him.
Just looking at the time of possession, the Generals, 40 minutes, 25 seconds, the Gamblers, 19 minutes, 11 seconds. That's insane. That's double the time that they had the ball.
That is insane. And they only won by 1. So this should have been the Gamblers' game. Yeah, insane.
T.O. Redding catching 3 passes for 76 yards, showing up out of almost nowhere with a touchdown. Isaiah Zuber, the darling of this team over the first few weeks, 2 catches, 33 yards. Thompson, just like you said, 2 touchdowns on 3 catches for 25 yards. Palka gets 2 for 17. Ward gets 2 for 13. Dawkins gets in the mix. Anthony Ratliff Williams just continues to disappear. 2 catches for 3 yards. You know, not much to say about these guys. Isaiah Zuber, are we scared?
Yes and no. I think if you have him, you have to start him. But I would lower your expectations until he has more of these breakout games. And it definitely looks like Thorson's feeling a little more comfortable throwing to T.O. Redding, a guy that, you know, you were high on coming into the season, and he's finally starting to show his potential and come down with some big catches.
Indeed. All right, let's move over to the general side of the ball. DeAndre Johnson, the big story here. 4 of 4 to start the game for 52 yards and a touchdown, but left. Just got rolled up on. You saw him get hurt, and you're like, ah, man. And then Luis Perez comes in and just does Luis Perez things. Loses the ball in a fumble. Incomplete passes galore. But somehow, someway, becomes the savior of the game with a rushing touchdown in the literal last second of the game. Finished the night 18 for 24, 159 yards and a touchdown pass. But I don't want to rest my hopes on Luis Perez. I hope Johnson's fine again.
Just to pick you up, there's this guy on social media who claims Luis Perez is a god. Oh my God. And that he's the savior of this team. And look at the stats, he says. And I want to be like, what about the fumbles and everything else? I will say, though, the savior of this game, not Luis Perez, Victor, who pushed him into the end zone. Whoops, hit my mic. Sorry.
Woo, you got excited.
Yeah, pushes him into the end zone. For those of you who can't see, I talk with my hands a lot. I don't think without Victor there, I don't think that would have been a touchdown.
No, and it didn't look like he was going to have it on first push either. You're right. And if it wasn't for him pushing him behind, that'd have been it. Speaking of Victor, 16 carries, 57 yards, where Trey Williams also 16 carries. They split the ball evenly on carries for 76 yards. But Trey busting out the touchdown. I love me some Trey Williams. I'm sorry. I always have. I always will. The guy is just an explosive runner. I know Victor's the bowling ball, but Trey Williams just brings it for me.
Yeah, this is the outlier where Williams gets the touchdown and Victor doesn't. But I think they're both fantasy relevant going forward. You know, I think Williams is going to get you a lot of yards, and Victor, he's going to get those red zone inside the five looks and get you a chance for a touchdown.
Can't credit him with the Perez touchdown though, can you?
Unfortunately.
No, unfortunately. Kevontae Turpin continues to be the dual threat. He got 3 carries for 28 yards. And then Johnson obviously pulled it down for 4 yards when he got hurt. Perez tried to run 3 times, got -1 out of it. -1 yards, but he still got the touchdown. So somewhere along the lines, he gained a yard here or there.
Right.
So rushing game, all told, 39 carries, 164 yards, 2 touchdowns for the Generals, who love to throw them the ball. And Kevontae Turpin just continues to be the guy for this team. I loved him going into this season. I'm so glad that he's having the success he's having lately. 10 catches on 11 targets, 106 yards, but 2 touchdowns. And everyone else is just sort of an afterthought after Turpin on this roster now.
Absolutely. And Turpin becomes the receiving yardage leader this week with his 106 yards. And the 2 touchdowns obviously don't hurt his value either. I love to see this guy succeed, getting his second chance. He was supposed to be kind of one of the top rounds in the NFL, and then due to some off-field stuff, that kind of went by the wayside. So it's really nice to see him succeed because he is a very talented player.
Absolutely. Alonzo Moore, 2 for 29. Darius Shepard, 2 for 26. Woody Brandom, 3 for 22. You know, but again, it was all absolutely Turpin's. Okay, fine. Luis Perez caught a Philly special for 14 yards, whatever. But yeah, and then Will Saxton gets in the mix, 2 for 10 yards. Satterfield, the week one darling, 1 catch, 7 yards. Kind of can give up on him at this point, right?
Yeah, yep. He's fallen by the wayside, and it's just one of those things. You have a breakout week one, and then you don't hear from him again, pretty much.
And you really haven't. I'm getting scared that Alonzo Moore may not be a thing, and that we may have to give up on Alonzo Moore at some point. But I don't know. I'm not ready to yet. He's got too big a game potential for me to give up on him.
Can't rely on Nebraska players.
Damn, throwing shade out there. We'll talk about some replacements for these guys coming up after the break as we give you some start-sit advice. But before we do, make sure to tell you to get down on the Win Bets $50 to win $200 promotion, where a $50 bet qualifies you for up to $200 in free bets. Plus, the Win Bet Casino is offering a 100% deposit bonus up to $1,000. All of you can receive a $20 free bet when you win, lose, or push a 3-plus leg build your own bet parlay between Thursday and Saturday. Take advantage of the offer on the NBA playoffs if you want, if you so fancy. The match is coming to the Win, and you can bet on it at WinBet. Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, -200. Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, +165. Side are you on? So much to choose from, and all you got to do is download the WinBet app now or visit WynNBet.com to get started. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at WinBet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WinBet is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Let's move to Sleeper. It's the fastest growing community platform, a fantasy platform today with millions of players. I know you already use it. I know you already got fantasy leagues on there. I know I do, because I'm actually drafting right now in a zombie league using Sleeper, and I love that format. Can't wait to play it through. It's a game-changing product. It's unlike anything else in the industry. Now you can make money on Sleeper. You love to make money. Now make it on Sleeper by playing the new over-under game. It's super simple. First, in any sport, choose two or more players that you like and pick the over or under. For example, number of points in basketball, hits in baseball, goals in hockey, whatever it is, pick that. Choose the amount of money you want to enter into the contest, and if you pick correctly, you can win anywhere from 2 times to 20 times the money you put in. And the main reason I'm super excited about the over-under game on Sleeper is that it's the only app where I can join my buddies' contest and we can all play together. It's got a built-in group chat where I can see and copy my friends' picks, because that's what I do with the tap of a single button. It's insanely fun to ride it out together. So stop right now what you're doing. Download Sleeper now to play their new over-under game and have fun with your friends and make some money on your mobile phone. You can join our listener group on Sleeper at sleeper.com/SGP. And Sleeper is going to automatically match your first deposit up to $100. That's right. Join our squad. Get the 100% deposit match at sleeper.com/SGP. Terms and conditions apply. See Sleeper's terms of use for details. Sweaty sack summer's approaching, and it's time for you to prioritize the comfort of your crotch. That's why the king of crotch comfort, Manscaped, has spent two full years designing the most comfortable boxer briefs out there. Look, I've got them on right now. These boxers, I can tell you, they're the softest fabric of any underwear. They're so breathable, it's like gills for your groin. They even trademarked the jewel pouch, so you know it is serious. I think it's time you invest in your family jewels. So let your bugle breathe and get 20% off and free shipping by using the code SGP at manscaped.com. That jewel patch, I'm telling you, it's designed to create little boys in their own special space. It's lined with perforated performance fabric to keep them well ventilated. Basically, imagine your balls sipping pina colada, chilling on a hammock on some tropical beach. I know you can do it. I know you want to do it. Do it. Right now, go get 20% off and free shipping with the code SGP at manscaped.com. It's 20% off and free shipping with the code SGP at manscaped.com. Once the boxers 2.0 touch your sack, you're never going back. We're brought to you by Athletic Greens and their AG1 supplements. So what is this stuff? Well, with one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you get your day started right. Special blend of ingredients support your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging. All of these things. It costs you less than $3 a day, and you're investing in your health. It's cheaper than that cold brew habit of yours. AG1 supports better sleep quality and recovery, and Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs when your first purchase. All you got to do is visit athleticgreens.com/SGP. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/SGP to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Do you know that online browsing using incognito mode does not actually protect your privacy? That's right. Without added security, you might as well be giving away your private data to hackers, advertisers, ISP, other prying eyes. That is why, folks, I use IPVanish VPN. Makes it easy to stay truly private and secure on the internet. IPVanish helps you safely browse the internet by encrypting 100% of your data. That means your private details, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be completely shielded from falling into the wrong hands. Even your physical location will be hidden. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online It's literally that simple. Use IPVanish on unlimited devices without sacrificing on your speed, your computers, tablets, phones, even devices like your Fire Stick when you're streaming media. So whether I'm at home or in public, I don't go online anymore without using IPVanish. IPVanish is offering an incredible 70% off their yearly plan for you with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's like getting 9 months for free. IPVanish is super easy to use. All you got to do, tap one button, you're instantly protected. You won't even know that it's on. So stop sharing with the world everything you stream, everything you search for, everything you buy. Take back your privacy today with a brand rated 4.6 out of 5 on Trustpilot. Go to IPVanish.com/SGP. Use the promotional code SGP and claim your 70% savings. All righty. We are back with our start or sit questions here on the SGP and Fantasy Football Podcast here on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Justin, like we said, we're ever so close to the playoffs now, and this is where start sit becomes all the more important. So we got to figure out who to put on your bench and who to actually start in your week 8 fantasy contest. So we'll start the suggestions off with you as we always do, because I like to give you first crack at players. So where are we starting for your start sit?
I know, I always feel bad. I always want to message you like, are you sure you don't want to pick the first ones? You can.
I'm good.
I'm going to start with Keith Mumphrey. A guy who, you know, when he was drafted, it kind of opened a lot of eyes because he has experience with Ta'amu from the XFL Battlehawks. They have experience together, so they have that comfortability. Now, he was injured the first 3 weeks. Week 4, he was active but didn't really play much. Week 5, he only had 2 targets. And then he had a breakout this last week, 7 targets, 5 catches for 50 yards. The Bandits can't run the ball. They're going to keep throwing the ball. And so I think there's going to be a lot of targets to go around. There's going to be a lot of passing. And Keith Mumphrey's a guy that now that he's healthy, now that he's getting the chance to get on the field, I think Tomo is going to keep looking his way because of just that experience that he has with him and to know that he can rely on him. So he's somebody that if you have a deep league and he's out there, stash him. If you have a not so deep league, he probably is out there since he just had his breakout week. I would definitely look into picking him up, especially if you need help at the wide receiver position.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of those guys where you're every week there's going to be a new somebody that pops onto the scene, right? I mean, that's just the nature of this beast, especially for the first season of the existence of this league in its reboot. So yeah, Mumphrey is just a long line. I have a feeling that he's going to be out there on a lot of waiver wires. So make sure you prioritize that claim, because going forward, I think that familiarity, yes, is there. His best game as a Battlehawk was actually the last week they played, or not the last week they played, last week he played. In the second to last week of the season, he had 2 catches for 51 yards on 2 targets. But he did have a 3-catch game for 39 yards against the Roughnecks back in week 2. So you're right. Ta'amu knows how to look for Mumphrey, and he's going to have to do something. That he just can't be the end-all, be-all of this team. He's going to have folks to step up for him, and that running game is not doing it. So it's going to fall on his receivers if they want to win any more games. And they got a tough matchup this week. It's not even – this is going to be one where they're probably going to need to throw quite a bit as well against the Generals, because we just watched what the Generals did to the Gamblers, and they're going to put a lot of pressure on Ta'amu. So he's going to have to go out and find those receivers, and hopefully Mumphrey will be the one to help him out.
Agreed. Quick side note, I thought it was interesting. Our friend USFL Jim said that the Bandits are now the new benchmark team, where if you beat them, you're a good team, and if you lose to them, you're a bad team. And I can't think of a better way to describe the Bandits right now. It's the same that we've seen from the quarterback play, the run play. I mean, it's just up and down. You know, it's right in the middle usually.
At 3-3. They're basically it's, and they've done it too. They've alternated win, loss, win, loss, win, loss, win, loss. It's crazy. You would think that on that pattern, they're going to win against the Generals, but that's a tough ask to win this week against the Generals.
Yeah. And hopefully Johnson plays for the Generals. I think he gives them, obviously we've said it pretty much every week. He gives them the better chance to win. Yeah.
Yeah, please, God, don't let Perez start. all right, let's move on to the second suggestion for you from the Maulers. Wow, really?
Yeah, so Isaiah Henny has a breakout performance. You know, he was just picked up by the Maulers, his first active game. Now, look, I know that Trey Walker gets a lot of targets, but I wonder how much of that was Kyle Laletta just throwing to his first read. And Bailey Gaither gets a lot of targets, especially in the end zone. You know, he's kind of their touchdown guy. But Isaiah Henny came out. He played college ball at Sacramento State, had 139 catches, 1,500 yards, 11 touchdowns there. Came out and had himself a game. And, you know, when you start to build that confidence with a quarterback who is also new, he's going to continue to look your way. And he's only 5'7", so he's a smaller guy, but he's got some speed. And when you look at his scouting reports, all the coaches said that he's short, but he plays with a lot of heart, and, you know, and clear eyes, full hearts. That's good enough for me.
Yeah. And again, this is one of those guys that's going to be on the waiver wire because he's out there. He's out there on our league, which means, you know, that he's out there in other leagues. And so for a breakout game like that, after having 2 weeks of nothing, this is definitely one where you go and create a waiver claim for him, because you're going to get him for free, basically, as long as you're in the right waiver claim. And a guy like him going forward, yes, Pittsburgh is a mess, but somebody's got to step up. And the fact that he did this week kind of gives you the warm and fuzzies, because maybe him and Vad, like you said, can get some sort of thing going in practice. Maybe now Vad will say, hey, look, I like you. Let's do this. And going forward for the last 3 weeks, or at least you get a good week out of him before the playoffs.
Absolutely. And if you're in a league like ours that has 8 teams and 6 bench spots, there's somebody on your bench that's doing nothing. So you might as well pick him up and kind of stash him there and see if he can continue that success.
I guarantee you there's somebody on your bench that's doing nothing. Absolutely nothing. I will say that he's a Sacramento State guy, so I'm pretty, I have a soft spot for him, with him being so close to me over here. So I'll put a waiver claim in for him. I don't know where I lay on the waiver status, but I'll definitely put a claim in for him.
Absolutely.
All right. But look, I don't know. The only thing that would hold me back from this would be the fact that it's the Maulers and it's Kirby Wilson, but I guess, like I said, somebody's got to do something, right?
I mean, they can't run the ball, so.
No, they can't. They can't run the ball at all. All right, let's move on to the next player on your list, and that is, we talked about him earlier, it's Anthony Jones.
Yeah, Anthony Jones came out. He was picked up after week 4. Week 5, he got 8 carries for 21 yards, and then exploded last week, 22 carries, 102 yards, and a touchdown. Definitely somebody you want to pick up, but it's going to be interesting to see, you know, Ellis is their starting running back, or he has been anyways. I think they probably are kind of laying back a little bit on his carries to make sure he's fresh for the playoffs, because they're putting themselves in a good position to make the playoffs. But it's definitely going to be a 1-2 punch, it looks like. So Jones is somebody that, if he's out there, and he most likely is, unless Miranda's in your league and picked him up, then I would pick him up. I mean, running backs, it's hard to find running backs that are putting up consistent performances. You know, like a guy like Garrett Groshek, who I drafted as my first running back, has not been consistent for weeks now, and there's not a lot of answers out there. So this is a guy picked up 2 weeks ago, then breaks out with a performance like he did. Larry Rose is on the team. He can't seem to stay healthy, and he hasn't done anything when he was healthy. So if Jones is out there, pick him up. He's going to get fantasy production.
Larry Rose, just so sad for me, because I had high hopes for him coming in. I thought he would do a heck of a lot better than he did. And obviously Jordan Ellis kind of came in and stole his thunder and basically held on to the lead back role there. So, I mean, do you think, though, Justin, that we can, what can we expect from him next week and maybe even going forward, Anthony Jones?
Yeah, I don't think you're going to get the same performance you got this week. I really don't. But I do think you'll get some yards out of it. So I would look at him more as maybe a flex position. You know, you're looking to maybe get those 30 to 40 yards rushing the ball and a couple catches, a catch or two. So, you know, not a ton of points, but we've talked about it before in that flex position. Sometimes 5 points is all you need.
Yep, and they're going against the Panthers next week, who actually gave up a gigantic game to Scarborough on the game. Remember, we talked about it. They gave up 175 yards on the ground to the Stallions last week. So maybe, just maybe, this is a good opportunity for this New Orleans ground game to get moving as well. And Anthony Jones makes for a great waiver wire claim, unless you're in our league, and then you don't get to claim him on waivers. Miranda just gets to steamroll you every week.
For sure.
So, all right, let's continue on to my picks now, where I've got Devin. We're talking about the Panthers. I've got Devin Ross as a guy that I think you should keep an eye out on. I say that because I kept an eye out on him all season long. He was on my team in our league. But last week he had his best game, obviously 16.2 fantasy points, where really it's just been building up to that type of a situation for him. He had 3.5 in week 4, 9.3 in week 5, and now he comes out with a big 16.2 game. Really, you know, for Devin Ross, this is all a matter of Shea Patterson needing to find somebody that's not Lance Lenoir, because as we saw, Lance Lenoir gets all the love, but Ross was right behind him with 8 targets as well and caught 7 of those for a touchdown. I have a feeling this is going to be a situation where Patterson's going to continue to try to do this week in and week out, because again, his running game is not there for him the way they expected it to be. So all, especially if they're trying to press to win games now, because they have to. They're at 1-5. They have to win out if they want any shot whatsoever at making the playoffs, because nobody's mathematically eliminated yet, right?
That's correct.
So, yeah, they're going to need to put the ball up in the air quite a bit to try to win ball games, and especially playing from behind. So every one of these receivers becomes more valuable, and Devin Ross becomes even more valuable because he's not Lance Lenoir, and you know that they're going to be game planning to stop number 7 on the Panthers.
Yeah, for sure. He's a little bit under the radar, but because the touchdowns haven't been there until last week, and he hasn't had huge yardage production, but he's averaging 6 targets a week. He has 35 through 6 weeks, and then these past 2 weeks, he's gone over 60 yards. So I love that pickup. That's a solid wide receiver to be able to pick up going into week 7, who is starting to really turn his targets into catches and yardage now.
Especially if he is out there on the waiver wire for you, especially if nobody's snatched him up yet, or if everybody's sort of just given up on him. If he's out there on the waiver wire, by all means, grab him. And if you had him on the bench last week waiting for his good week, he had it last week, but I think it's okay to go ahead and put him in for somebody that might not be performing for you the way you want him to, and especially in a flex position right now.
For sure.
So, all right, let's move on to Matt Colburn. Matt Colburn, man, that coming out of nowhere for the Stars. But I think he may have claimed himself a spot. He had 2 points in week 4, 5.9 in week 5, and then blew up for 34 points in week 6, which, you know, we talked about his numbers and how well he did. But, you know, that's the thing about this Stars running game. If Paul Terry comes back, when Paul Terry comes back, what does this do to his performance, and what do we expect out of Colburn going forward?
Yeah, I think when Paul Terry comes back, you'll have more of a shared backfield. However, I think he had definitely earned himself the right to be able to get more carries. And the Stars in general, they just need to run the ball more. Their average yard per carry over each game has been pretty decent. So, and out of all these guys, they've all shown some flash with Terry, Holland, and now Colburn. So I think they just need to run the ball. It's a messy backfield because there's so much talent there, but I think it's worth picking Colburn up. I definitely think he's a valuable player, and they're going to look at that performance, 140 yards, 3 touchdowns, and say, we need to get him the ball more.
I agree. And yeah, if you have him on your team already and we're waiting, like we said, with Ross for the time to start him, I think this might be the time to start him, especially if you hear that Paul Terry is going to be out again with that AC sprain. So keep an eye on the injury report. Sebastian Fearon going to be putting out more of those this week, so keep an eye on those. And if that's the case, then have him ready again. Have Colburn ready again, because I think we're in for another big week out of him as well. All right, the last guy on my list, Justin, is I am only doing this because there's probably some folks that are gun-shy about Mark Thompson when they see that he's not rushing the ball very well. But here is your reminder that fantasy does not always equal the same thing that happens in your eye test sometimes. Sometimes the two don't mirror up, where Thompson may not be flashy with the headlines as far as rushing is concerned, but he still had 18 points last week in fantasy. He had 8 the week before. He's still putting up numbers for you, especially in a position that have dwindling returns.
Yeah, week 4 is the only week that I think he didn't pan out for you fantasy-wise. So I realize 11 carries for 23 yards with a 2.1 average on the ground is a little scary. You don't know if you want to trust him again, especially when it's 2 weeks removed from only having 10 yards on 14 carries. But he continues to find ways to get open, you know, out of the backfield. They continue to rely on him. I don't think you should be gun-shy moving forward, because I think he's going to find a way to get fantasy football points, whether it's in the air, catching those little passes, you know, where he doesn't have to do much work, just catch the ball and run it in, or out of the backfield.
Mark Thompson still, he's got 66 points on the season. The highest point getter that is not, I take that back. Jordan Ellis just passed him, but one of the highest point getters in the running back position still. And definitely don't be afraid to keep starting him week after week, because you've seen his potential. Don't get scared. I mean, I know what you see on the field. I know what you hear the announcers say about this running game, but Mark Thompson is still good for you for fantasy purposes. Don't give up on him just yet. Or if you want to give up on him, go ahead and trade me for him. I'll find room for him on my roster.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, Justin, we've helped folks through yet another crazy USFL week. I cannot wait to see what this week has in store. There's the biggest spread out there right now, 12.5 points. The Maulers are not favored by that. It's the Maulers are on the wrong side of it for the Stallions. Do you think this game is going to be a gigantic blowout the way it is?
Yeah, I think the Stallions just have too much momentum going. Credit to Vadley with what he's been able to do in a short amount of time, but I don't think it's going to be enough against the Stallions team. They are a freight train, and the Maulers are not going to be the ones that stop them or slow them down.
No, unfortunately, that is some scheduling stuff right there. So make sure you load up on Isaiah Henny, because Vad's going to be throwing that ball a lot this week. He may be your fantasy MVP of the week for sure.
Absolutely.
All right, Justin, why don't you let everybody know where they can find you on social media as we wrap things up for this episode?
Yeah, give me a follow on Twitter at JMarkFootball.
And find his work all over the SGPN website, because he is a valuable member of the society and we love him a lot. Thanks for joining us as always on Tuesday, Justin. Find me on Twitter at RJ Villagomez. Subscribe to this show on the SGPN app or wherever you find your favorite podcasts. We'll be back on Thursday with more NFL talk, but it'll be really real and Scott's back tomorrow with their NFL talk as well. Ladies and gentlemen, just more fun. The playoffs are almost upon us in the USFL. Hopefully you've enjoyed the fantasy football portion of this. And we enjoyed bringing it to you. I'll tell you that right now. So until next week, everybody, let's play some football and let it ride. So tired and chained, loud and scrimping.